The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Oh, man, I'm so fired up about these tornado sirens and this latest story. And I have TJ Moe with us right now, former Mizzou standout, former NFL player. He contributes to Jason Whitlock at Fearless. He's also doing more stuff on Instagram I saw the other day. Dude, I don't even know where to start with you. There's so much to talk about. How are you, first and foremost?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm worked up. Did you see this story that Joe Holloman did in the Post-Dispatch this afternoon about this conference that the person that was supposed to press the button for the sirens was at? Have you seen this yet?
I saw your tweet about 5 minutes ago that you were irate.
You have to read it. You will not believe the details. They were over there talking about climate change and stuff like that, seven blocks away. I know. It's funny if it wasn't for people don't have homes to live in right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it could have saved any of the five lives we lost, that would have been an upside. Obviously, we weren't going to stop with the sirens. We weren't going to stop the tornado from damaging the 5,000 homes.
That. But I get that.
I am irritated that anybody's having meetings about climate change. You can, and that's being taxpayer dollars are being used for that. Chalk me up for irritation on that.
Well, let me take you into some categories that I haven't even talked about here. And you have a tweet that has a lot. And this is a longer piece of audio, but I haven't talked about the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese situation. So can you first explain that to the audience, what happened? And by the way, in my opinion, I think the video that got out there, of course, from the legacy media is extremely misleading because it doesn't show that there was a foul that was very, very violent from Angel Reese. And that's why Caitlin Clark pushed her. So explain the dynamics of that story, because this is very interesting. And then there's the follow-up of this guy, Ryan Clark, and what he said.
So it was the opener. Obviously, anybody who's watched, the only reason the majority of the WNBA audience is there is because of Caitlin Clark. And she started a rivalry with Angel Reese in college. LSU played Iowa in the championship. And Angel Reese came up and taunted her after the game, and that's the only reason Angel Reese is popular at all. Truly, to be honest with you, that is it. She taunted Caitlin Clark, and that's her one claim to fame. And so there's been this made-up rivalry that has carried into the WNBA. And so, the Fever are winning by, I think they won the game by like 35, so it's not a close game. But Angel Reese, who, she is a rebounding machine. She's, think Dennis Rodman sort of. Can't score any points. She, half her rebounds are her own misses on offense, but she is a rebounding machine. So she's standing next to the rim. I think they're down 20 or so. And she shoves, I don't know if it was Aaliyah Boston, somebody out of the way, like very clearly two arms, throws this girl on the ground, grabs a rebound. And because she's so incapable offensively, takes a minute to gather herself. You can see Caitlin Clark look around. And then she does what's called a take foul. Like, hey, make her earn the 2 points.
Right.
And look, Caitlin is not a big girl. Anybody who's watched, Caitlin's not a big, strong girl that's thrown anybody around. She went over there, and it was a total flop. I don't even buy. A lot of people are saying, kind of like you did, that she pushed her because Caitlin saw that Angel Reese pushed somebody else. I don't buy that. I think she went over there and just fouled her. And made sure that she couldn't get an easy 2 points. Not that it would have been easy for Angel Reese, but it would be easy for somebody else. And so just took a foul. And Angel Reese lost her mind. And so that's how all this started. Everybody's got to take on that.
Right. Everyone's got it. But there's a racial component because Caitlin Clark is white and Angel Reese is not. And then Ethan just kind of guided me into this. I guess, is this a podcast that this Ryan Clark was doing with RG3?
No, Ryan Clark has a podcast called The Pivot. That's his own. It's basically a knockoff of the I Am Athlete podcast that Brandon Marshall does. And so those two have a riff. But RG3 has his own podcast. I can't remember the name of his. But they work together on ESPN where Ryan Clark works during the day. RG3 was let go earlier this year, right before football season, at the same time that Sam Ponder was, I think, in August. And so they have different podcasts. And RG3 on his own podcast made some comments that super woke Ryan Clark found offensive.
And that's because, and what did he say? He said something because this goes.
No, he said the most. No, he said the most. RG3 said the most obvious, anybody with a brain and a pair of eyeballs observation. man, Angel Reese really hates Caitlin Clark. That's true. Anybody who's got a brain acknowledges those things. And that's when Ryan Clark came in and called him out and said, hey, man, you don't get an opinion on this. You're married to a white woman.
Yeah, that's what he says. Now, that's kind of blown up, right? That aspect of it. And it should. So what is RG3? Like, what's his position been the last couple of days since that's happened?
Well, RG3 made a video, which is like the perfect kind of video to make, where he backed off and he's like, man, I gave an opinion on the court. I didn't make it personal. I said, like we all do, man, it sure seems like she hates her. And I didn't say, hey, she's probably going to go burn her mom's house down. I said, man, on the court, they got problems. And you came in and started talking about my wife. What is wrong with you? And so sort of went with the everybody should have sympathy play, which is a good play in this case, because, you know, there's a weird component to all of this, too. Ryan Clark, his firstborn, was with a white woman. So Ryan Clark's been fishing in that pond, too.
Yeah, that's
and that's what a lot of people are saying. And look, it's just Ryan Clark sits around, and he's married to a black woman now, but my guess and general instinct is that his family probably sits there and notices that and is reminded every day, hey, Ryan, you were with a white woman and all that. And Ryan is sitting around trying to prove how black he is all the time. And he's got to stand there and stand up for black women. You're not sitting there having these conversations. Well, it's like, hold on a minute. RG3's mom's not black. RG3 doesn't have two black sisters, which he does. But where are we getting this idea that you have to sit around and these black women are a totally different species, and unless you're married to one and sit and talk about their problems all day, you couldn't possibly understand them, like they're subhuman. It is a crazy thing. If you're a black woman, you should be offended by Ryan Clark's comments to begin with. But the reality is Ryan Clark is just out-woking himself every day.
So a couple weeks ago, I was in Greece, and I tried to stay away from the news, but I saw this thing that Bill Belichick had sat down for the Sunday morning show on CBS, and I saw one of your tweets. And then I watched that interview, and I think one of the things that you said is Bill Belichick is ruining his legacy right now, and now we're finding out he might be engaged. What's going on with that guy?
So the reason I think he's ruining his legacy, but hopefully everybody's got a background on this, he's dating a 24-year-old and Belichick 73, and so a 49-year difference is pretty substantial, obviously. And so Belichick, the reason I say he's ruining his legacy, because in my opinion and in my experience with him when I spent a year up there, his legacy was a no-nonsense, do your job. That's going to be on his tombstone. Bill Belichick, date-date, do your job. That's it. And he is, for the first time in his life, creating the distraction. That is what's destroying his legacy. He always says, I mean, he used to have this board when we'd walk in, and when you'd go out, he'd say, ignore the noise. And there were these, you know, four things on it. And it was all about distractions. Mm-hmm. Don't buy the hype, ignore the noise, whatever, whatever. And he is the distraction now with this 24-year-old girl. And the whole thing to me is crazy. What is he doing? I don't know. But, like, I always think, hey, don't ignore your instincts, okay? Everybody's sitting here trying to, like, concoct these explanations for why this is okay and why it's totally fine. Let him do whatever he wants, which free country obviously can do whatever he wants. But if everybody's asking the question, then we all know this is weird. Let's not just ignore that. Like, it's weird. It's strange. What it's a business arrangement for her. Obviously she bought $8 million in real estate shortly after they started dating. She didn't have that money. You know, oh, she was a cheerleader and is a daughter of a fisherman. Okay, it's not like she had all sorts of money. She bought several condos, obviously on Bill Belichick's dime, and she, you know, is going to be entitled to some of that wealth. And the arrangement is, hey, you got to go around, and Bill Belichick gets a 24-year-old on his arm, and he gets to sleep with you. And that seems like a very weird arrangement. And if your instincts say that's weird, you're correct, and we shouldn't just ignore that.
A lot of the audience is probably familiar with you. Maybe some people aren't familiar with what you do on Twitter and Facebook. I've become a fan. We've known each other for a while, but I saw that you have a little bit more use for Instagram these days. You want to explain that?
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, over the last, so what I do full time is real estate. And what I've kind of discovered over the last 5 years is, like, the more that I meet people and create a community, the better first of all, the more fun it is, but also the better I am at it. Like you buy more houses from people, you make more connections, you can help way more people. It just becomes a way better experience. And so what I'm hoping to do on Instagram, and part of this I've learned from my wife, who's in like those Facebook mommy groups. And it's like anytime she has a problem, she posts on there. For instance, my newborn, I've got a 1 month old, had a bacterial infection, and she posted a picture on there. And there were like 5,000 comments of people trying to help her, because there's this like tight knit mommy group where everybody feels like they know each other. They're all going through the same stuff. They got the same values, at least as it relates to these children. And so what I'm hoping to do on Instagram, which you can follow me if you want, at TJMo28, is create some sort of deal where, like, we have that in life. And I've got a certain set of values. Obviously, I'm not shy about them. I'm Christian. I care about fatherhood. I care about trying to be a good husband. I care about real estate. I like sports. And it's like there's a ton of people who like all of those things and could give advice, particularly as it relates to fatherhood and marriage and that kind of stuff. And so my hope is that we can kind of create a community that exists like that, because I've seen what it's done in real estate, and it is so beneficial day to day. It'd be kind of fun to have that in real life.
I love it. You know I'm a fan, so I was very curious when I saw that. Give the handles out for all the socials so people know where to find you.
Yep, it's at TJMo28. I should drop the 28 at some point because I haven't played football for a very long time, but that is what I created when I was playing. And so same on Twitter, same on Instagram. You can just search my name on Facebook if you want to. I'm way more political on Facebook than anywhere. And honestly, that's not a place to create community. If anybody's, unless you're in one of those groups, you get on Facebook, it's a toxic wasteland.
It is.
Instagram doesn't have to be. I get a ton of DMs from people on Instagram, and there's like very thoughtful people. You get good book recommendations, you get good advice on different things, and there's way more like humor and enjoyment. It seems like that's where people actually get to know each other.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm leaning into
it. I like Instagram as well. Now, I don't post as much as I used to. I do post on my bunnies page, which is Oreo Smorio the Bunny. You can follow Oreo, TJ, if you'd like. He's my spiritual guide these days. And by the way, congratulations on the baby. I missed that headline, so I didn't know you had a newborn.
Thank you. That's our third child. So I got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and now a 1-month-old. If it's up to me, we're halfway there. My wife wants 4. I want 6. So my hope is that we'll compromise and have 6.
Wow. You're a busy guy. Good for you. All right, dude. Thank you so much. Great to hook up.
Yep. Thanks, Mark.
All right. We'll see you. That's TJ Moe. He's awesome. Follow him.
Get more at 971talk.com.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.